Let's open God's Word this evening in the New Testament Scriptures, Galatians and the chapter 6. Galatians and the chapter 6. As you're turning up the portion, can I say it is good to be here this evening. We count it a privilege to be able to come and to open up the Scriptures together. Certainly enjoyed the times of praise and the Word of testimony. And we come now around the Word of the Lord. And we look to the Lord that He will speak to each one of our hearts this evening. I'm going to read from Galatians 6, commencing at the verse 1. And as we read the portion, you will find that there would be a number of verses in this chapter that would relate to the theme of the harvest. But there's one particular verse that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this evening. We read together from Galatians 6 and the first verse. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Amen. We'll end there at verse 10. May the Lord add His own blessing to this public reading from His own precious and infallible Word. I would like this evening to draw your attention to the words of verse 9. And here we have what we could call a work of love. In verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And with God's word open before us, let us unite together in a word of prayer and ask the Lord for help as we come to consider His truth together. Our God and our Father, we do praise Thee for this meeting tonight. We thank Thee, our Father, for the singing of praise, for the messages and song, for the faithful word of testimony. And Lord, we thank Thee for Thine own precious word. And we come tonight, our Father, not to cunningly devised fables, but we come to that more sure word of prophecy. And we thank Thee that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we pray that for this short time around the open book, that Thou Thyself would be pleased to draw near to our hearts, breathe upon us with the power of God from heaven, fill us with the Holy Ghost tonight, and grant our Father that every waiting heart might know that word to their heart this evening, might know the blessing of the triune God to be upon them. Close us in now to Thee. We offer this our prayer in the Savior's great name. Amen. Well, it is good to have a burden for the lost, for those who are unconverted and unprepared for eternity. And every born-again believer, every saved soul, every Christian in God's house this evening ought to have that desire and that burden for the lost, that concern for the souls of men and women, that desire to see them saved and won for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul, he certainly had that burden. You think of the words in Romans chapter 10 and the verse 1, And he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." His heart's desire is prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. When he wrote to the Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the verse 16, he referred to speaking to the Gentiles. Why? That they might be saved. And it is beyond question that the Apostle Paul certainly had that great burden and that concern for the souls of men and women. But alongside that, he had a desire and a burden for God's people. And he desired that those who professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would grow in the Lord, that they would develop spiritually, that they would be strengthened, that they would go on with the Lord, and that they would know what it is to put off the old man and to put on the new man. And so Paul's ministry was a combination of both of those things, a burden for the lost and a burden for God's people, that the lost might be saved and that God's people might be strengthened in the Lord. Now, with that in mind, when you look here at Galatians chapter 6, you can see, before we come to the text itself, the context in which it is set. He's speaking to these believers at Galatia. And from the very first verse, he's referring there to some of the issues that would face the church. And he speaks in verse 1 about a man who could be overtaken in a fault. And of course, on many occasions, that can happen amongst God's people, a man being overtaken in a fault. In verse 2, he refers there to burdens. And God's people can be carrying burdens, and he encourages them to bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In verse 8, he speaks about those who were sowing to the flesh and all of these different issues that the church can face. An individual overtaken in a fault, those who were carrying heavy burdens, and those that would be sowing to the flesh, those who were carnal. In verse 12, he refers at the end of that verse to those who should suffer persecution for the cause of Christ. In verse 13, he's addressing there the matter of false teaching. And whenever you go down the verses in this chapter, you can see there just some idea of what the church can face, all of those different issues. And with all of those things going on, it is sometimes very difficult to remain focused upon the main purpose and aim before the believer. That is the burden for the lost, and a desire to see God's people progressing spiritually and going on with the Lord. It's very easy to become distracted with all of these other things and even to be turned out of the way altogether. And the Apostle Paul wants to encourage God's people to hold fast to the task in hand. And that's why he comes with the words of our text in verse 9. He says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And in spite of all of those other issues that can be faced in the church and all of the other things that would be going on, he draws our attention to this: let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we think together on this verse of Scripture tonight, there's just three thoughts that I want to leave before you. Firstly, there's a word here concerning fainting. When you look at the verse of Scripture, you can see the reference, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And therefore, whenever you think about those two words there, weary and faint, you can see the difficulty that was facing some in the church at Galatia. They were becoming weary and they were becoming faint. To the extent that they were in danger of really turning back altogether. The apostle had said to them, "You did run well. Who did hinder you?" And so they were in danger of turning away altogether. This is one of the strongest tactics of the devil. Whenever he wants to come to hinder and even to halt the forwarding of the gospel of Christ, he attacks the people of God that they become weary in their minds and they become faint, even in body. A complete exhaustion, if you like. That word weary, it means to reach the point where you become spiritless. Just totally disheartened, as it were. Those feelings that start entering into the mind of giving up and not being able to go on. And the word faint there, it has to do with exhaustion. And what these two words amount to is a mental and a physical exhaustion. The weariness and the fainting. It was a particular problem amongst the early church and amongst God's people. There was that proneness to tire and even to fall away, and this is why the Apostle Paul must address the problem. And he had already spoken concerning it to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4 and the verse 1. He says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." And so it's something he had to address when he was speaking to the Corinthians concerning the ministry. We faint not. In that same chapter, in the verse 16, he says, "For which cause we faint not." We faint not. He had to address the problem as well when he was speaking to the Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 3 and the verse 13, he says, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." He's writing to the Thessalonians. And again, he had to address this particular problem in 2 Thessalonians and the chapter 3 and again the verse 13. "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." It's similar words. It's a parallel passage. It has to do with becoming weary and becoming faint in our Christian lives and in our service for the Lord. And of course, we're familiar with the words in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 12, you would know the opening words. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Verse 3, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." And in verse 5 as well, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." And when you look at the epistles here of the Apostle Paul, you can see that over and over again he's addressing this same problem. And he has to refer to it so many times because the fact stands that this problem must have been a great problem. I believe it exists in the day in which we're living. We're no different to God's people in the earlier church. This problem is a serious problem. It's a serious danger that we as God's people need to be aware of, that there is this proneness to become weary in mind and to become faint in body. Sometimes, you see, we're taken up with those other things that the apostle is being referring to, not only through these chapters in Galatians, but in this sixth chapter, as we have already drawn to your attention by way of introduction. And those things in themselves would almost be enough to overwhelm us. And the apostle has to say, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary to the point where we would feel like giving up altogether and like turning back. I read about a lady called Florence Chadwick. She was the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. And in 1952, she stepped into the waters of the Pacific Ocean off Catalina Island. And the idea was she was going to swim to the shore of mainland California. And as she was in the water, there was a terrible fog that came down. And the fog was so dense she could barely see the boat that was alongside to accompany her. And after 15 hours in the water, swimming continuously, she was so exhausted mentally and physically that she begged them to take her out of the water. Her mother was in the boat alongside, and she was trying to encourage her to stay in the water. You've been there so long, we couldn't be far now from the land. But Florence prevailed, and they pulled her out of the water and into the boat. She wasn't in the boat very long at all, until they realized they were just but half a mile from the shore. Half a mile from the shore. The next day there was something of a press conference or a news conference, and Florence Chadwick said, all I could see was the fog. And she went on to say, I think if I could have seen the shore, I would have made it. If I could have seen the shore, I would have made it. You know, sometimes as believers spiritually, all we see is the fog, isn't it? But only if we could lift our eyes to the shore and look into eternity itself to see that one day we will go to be with our Lord and Savior. If we could only get our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, then all that one day we'll receive the well done of God. My, it would keep us going whenever we become weary and we feel that we're going to faint. If we get our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what will keep us going. Whenever we're tempted to give up and to turn back, whatever would be going on, let's keep our focus upon the Lord. And let's keep that great purpose before us of reaching out to others who are lost and who are dying in sin. We've only one life. It will soon be past, and it's only what's done for the Lord Jesus Christ that will last. And so we can see in this text of Scripture there's a word about fainting. But there's secondly a word concerning faithfulness. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And when you think about the individual who is not becoming weary and faint, but they're continuing to do well, well-doing or doing well. They're keeping going on. They're being faithful to the task in hand. And this, of course, would encompass all aspects of our Christian life, that we're not to be weary in well-doing. But surely it would focus mostly upon our service for the Lord. When the temptation comes to throw in the towel, as it were, and to quit, Paul has this encouraging word: let us not be weary in well-doing. Oh, let us keep our eyes upon the Lord, and let's keep our hand to the plow, and let's keep doing well. Notice how the apostle puts it here. He says, and let us. He includes himself in those words. He says, and let us, and I love the Apostle Paul using that expression. He wants to identify himself with the people of God. He wants to include himself in the number. And he's saying, let us not be weary. It's God's people together, you see. We're laborers together with Christ. And that's what the apostle here is emphasizing when he uses this expression that he was so fond of. And let us together strengthen one another in the Lord. Let us encourage one another in our service for the Lord. Let us not be weary. Many other occasions the apostle used those words, and let us. You think of it perhaps in Hebrews especially. Let us therefore come boldly onto the throne of grace. Let us together, God's people. Hebrews 6 and 1, let us go on to perfection. Hebrews 10 and 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Hebrews 12 and 1, we read it a moment ago, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us. Those words show us that we're all God's servants together. We're to stand together. We're to be laborers together with Christ in spite of all that would be there to discourage us. Let us go forward together in well-doing. What is this well-doing? Well, if you were to look at it in its context, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And the well-doing has to be the sowing. Because if there's going to be a reaping, the well-doing has to be the sowing. And there is that need to be faithful in sowing the seed. I'm not sure if at your harvest services, any of the preachers have preached on that harvest parable that we would call the parable of the sower. Many would refer to it at this particular time of the year. And when we think about that parable, we think about the different types of ground into which that seed fell. And there was the wayside, and some seed fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came, and they snatched away that good seed. Other seed, it fell on the stony ground, but there was no root, and it died away. Others fell on the thorny ground, and the thorn sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground, and it brought forth fruit. But have you ever thought in that parable about the sower and the emphasis that is placed upon the sowing of that good seed? In fact, whenever you would look at it in Matthew chapter 13, where the parable appears, just turn to it for a moment in Matthew 13. It's in the opening words of that chapter. They're here by the shores of Galilee. And in Matthew 13, just look at verse 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower. And the Lord Jesus Christ uses here the word behold, and he says, behold, a sower. He's calling our attention to the sower. Probably from where they were gathered, they could maybe see the sower out in the field, and the Lord was using that as the illustration. But behold, focus upon the sower and think there about the work of the sower. He's sowing the seed. And when the Lord gave the interpretation of this parable, he tells us very clearly that the seed is the Word of God. That's the work of the sower. We want to be well-doing today. Let us sow the seed. It's the good seed of the gospel. It's the message of redeeming grace. It's telling those who are unconverted and lost the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, bringing before them the claims of Christ and the gospel and the need to repent and to get right with God. That's the work of the sower. And may we never be diverted from that great work. That's the work that is given to the church to every one of God's people the great commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. And you think of the early church, whenever they were scattered because of persecution, it says they went everywhere preaching the word. You might say, well, I'm not a preacher. Did you know that word preach in the original just means to speak? To speak. It's not perhaps the formal preaching like this evening. Just to speak a word for the Lord. That's sowing the seed. Just to speak that word of witness. That's being the sower. The work of the sower. But if you're looking in Matthew 13 there in the verse 3, behold, a sower went forth to sow. There's the willingness of the sower. He's prepared to go forth. He went forth to sow. And we need to have that willingness today for the work. Go forth with the message of the gospel. We haven't time to turn to it, but you would know Psalm 126 in the verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth. There's the weeping of the sower. Sometimes that's the very thing that we're missing. So many prayer meetings that are dry-eyed prayer meetings. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Why do we go forth to the work? Why is it there are those that would be concerned for the souls of men and women? It's with that desire to see them saved from a Christ rejecter's hell. The gospel is real tonight. If you're gathered into this meeting tonight outside of Christ, we're seeking to reach out to you that you might see your need even this night, and that you might come and close in with the Lord and accept his invitation in the gospel. But our text of scripture tonight has spoken to us a word about fainting, and a word about faithfulness. But thirdly, and very quickly, there's a word concerning fruit. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And on the strength of this verse of Scripture, it comes to us as a promise that if we continue on faithful in the work that God has given us to do, there will be fruit. But our responsibility is to sow the seed. One can plant and another can water, but we know that it's God alone who can give the increase in his due season. And on this basis, Paul charges us to take hold of every opportunity that presents itself to us. In verse 10, where we ended our Bible reading, he says, as we have therefore opportunity, as we have opportunity, let us do good. There's the well-doing again. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And we ought to be looking for those opportunities whereby we can reach out to others with the message of the gospel. In the sure knowledge that God will keep his word, God will honor his promise, and in God's time, in God's due season, there will be fruit. That parable of the sower I referred to, the four different types of ground, thank God there was the good ground into which that seed fell, and it brought forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And as we sow the good seed of the gospel, thank God we know on the basis of this promise that there will be that seed that will fall upon the good ground. We heard about it tonight in the word of testimony. The seed that was sown that entered into the heart which God had prepared. A heart prepared by the Lord to receive with meekness the engrafted word which alone is able to save the soul. And sometimes it seems today we're sowing and sowing and we don't see so much reaping. But God calls upon us to be faithful in our labors. And we labor and we look and we long that the Lord would indeed give the increase and that there might be fruit. We hold on to the Lord, that he will move again and breathe upon us, and we might hear of precious souls that will come and trust in the Savior. But brethren and sisters, let us not be weary in well-doing. I read about Winston Churchill. On the 29th of October 1941, when he was Prime Minister, he visited the Harrow School, and he went back to that school to hear some of the hymns and songs that he had sung there as a young boy. And of course, he was there as well to speak to the students. When it came to the point where he was to deliver his speech, he came forth to the lectern, and Churchill stood before the students, and he said this: "Never give up. Never give up. Never give up." Brethren and sisters, may we never give up in reaching out to those around us who are dying in sin. May we not be weary in well-doing, knowing that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And when we think of that tonight, the sowing of the seed and the opportunity that presents itself, it reminds us as well of the opportunity to the unconverted soul. Because whenever the gospel is preached and that good seed is sown, you have opportunity to get right with God. Maybe you're in God's house this evening, and as yet you're not saved, but the Lord has troubled your heart, and you could relate to what our brother was saying when he was under conviction and he was troubled about his soul and how he stood before God. Oh, tonight, if you know that burden, don't reject the Lord. Don't go away without the Savior. But that even this night, it would be the night of your salvation, and that there might be fruit as a result of this effort in the gospel over these harvest services. Oh, that it would not be said of you with the words of Jeremiah, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." Well, if you're not saved tonight, may the Lord draw you onto himself, and may you know that joy and that peace in believing. May God bless these thoughts to our hearts this evening. Thank you.